Hello. How are you today? Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Rise and be healed. That's right. If you have an infirmity right now, put your hand towards the TV screen. Put your other hand on the place of pain or hurt, physical disorder, and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Jesus heals today. There's many things going on. We're living in the last days, and we need to be aware of many kinds of things that are happening in our lives. As Christians, we should have a idea that the last days are going to mean a little bit more than church every day, go to meeting on Sunday, wear our Sunday best, and then argue our points of opinion about the Bible. You know, I'm more writer than you. You believe you're more writer than me. And this denomination is right and the other denomination is wrong. And nothing particularly wrong with this. Denominations basically started with the apostles. We had 12 denominations. It doesn't matter a lot what you kind of think, but if you look on the practical and logical side of things, you'll see that fairly quickly, you know, after things got going and Jesus rose and apostles started figuring out what they need to do and they started heading out this way and that way and the other way, and wasn't too long before churches was made up after them and so forth. But each one of them began to have a following. They went to this area, that area, and the other area. And so each one can be considered a denomination. And over the years, these apostles finally died off, and now we have their, as it were, church surviving and people following or not following or figuring, you know. See, all of us humans are pretty, got our own little characteristics and personal traits and ideas and style of speaking and so forth, and we are varying degrees of how we interpret the Bible in strictness and conservatism or liberalism and all this kind of stuff. One group, you can just mention the word, you can't be saved. You know, we have all kinds of ideas, so does this make this group not saved, the other group saved? Well, we have a general concept also of, you know, hey, they're Christians. They're just wrong, you know. But we don't have to say they're wrong. We just get, they're our brothers. You know, we have all kinds of ways we deal with other denominations. But we choose where we want. We're not going to go, no matter if we knew someplace was absolutely right and we went there, but we didn't like the style. We didn't like the preacher. We didn't like the way the church was built. We didn't like a lot of things about it. We won't go there. We'll find someplace we like. Now, we talk about, some of us like to say, you know, having pleasure and all this kind of stuff is sin, or seeking, you know, your wants. I will do this, I will do that. Everything's got to be sin. And we seem to forget that Jesus is saying, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So if you don't have any desires, you don't have any likes and dislikes, what's he going to give you? He's going to give you something that you like, that you're comfortable with. It doesn't mean that everything is right or everything is wrong. And so we select our denominations. And we can find faults with each other. You know, we love this. I love it, you know. This one does this and that one does that. Everybody wants to find the other person's fault, but don't want to look at their own faults. Our faults, we look at, Jesus will take care of us. We're doing the best we can. So it doesn't really matter. But other people's fault, they're going to go to hell. Right? But anyway, point simply is, denominationalism started with the apostles, and do we? These are the people Jesus selected. So it doesn't matter if we don't like one of them, or we say this one or that one isn't right enough or wrong enough or whatever, or they're finally their as the generations go by, Jesus must have knew what he was doing when he selected certain people. Maybe 12 was a good number for lots of different things. It works for four sides of New Jerusalem. You're going to have four apostles, four gates on each side. It's square, but it's pyramid shape, but it's square. And you've got four gates on either side of New Jerusalem, and the apostles are going to sit there. What this means, we can guess a lot. But the Bible is saying that there are four gates. Something's important about the apostles in that each one of them had a sort of a personality. We could read the Gospels, we could read the books, and then we could read the writings that we find all over the place of other apostles, and we can find the churches of, you know, the direction they went out, and we can find out there was these sets that developed out of the apostles has got to be somewhat, if not directly, Jesus wanted. God wanted it. Because he made it so. He went out and said, I want you, you follow me. And he had the 12 apostles. We think one of them went by the wayside, but we have a lot of controversy on Judas, you know. Maybe he's the one that had to get him crucified. God, this is the time. Go tell them so they can come crucify me. So he had to do this dirty work. Some people think that maybe this is a more faithful than all. But when we read the scriptures, it wants to say that he isn't that good. You know, as much as one of you is a devil. So we have controversies in trying to understand the Bible. And then Paul came around, and it is generally, seems to indicate, he's an apostle. So, did we get minus Judas and plus Paul? These are controversial areas. But, one thing that's not controversial is every single person is different. They spent 3 years with Jesus. People are people. You don't get any special differences in people. People are people, and they're going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Basically, just saw a documentary last night, and they're digging up more and more writings. You know, you go up back there, it's 2,000, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and you see where they're writing on all kinds of tablets, and when you're reading all these kinds of tablets about your general folk and everything, they seem to be doing the same kind of things that we're doing today. Doing their kinds of shopping, and they're arguing, and they're this and that, and the other thing, and what they do, and in their daily lives, it almost sounds like we're talking about the day. People are pretty much the same. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, or if you believe in Jesus or not, you're going to have your personality. Jesus wants you to be you. He's going to make something beautiful out of you, but you are you. You're an individual, specific person. And so we go about and select the denomination, and if we don't like any, don't see any, some people just start their own, and others will get sick and tired of it, break away, but keep a good part of the beliefs of one, and now we got a breakaway church. Generally speaking, we don't need to necessarily look at what we think is wrong with other churches. The only thing we really need is that basic fundamental principle that whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God and that God rose him on the third day, if we have this, then we have really no place to try to say that somebody else's beliefs are worse enough to get them hell. Now, there's nothing wrong with us talking what we believe. See, we believe something for a reason. And so we can speak all that we want. Maybe some of these others will hear something that they like, and then they will change their mind about something. Because there's wrong. Every place there's wrong. So if we can get right, more understood, then other people will listen to this right. And if we listen to them, we might change our minds about some things. Somehow we are getting into a circumstance, but this is, you know, lots of times we like to say that we're evolving into a either more evil state or, you know, as though that today is so different than any other Christian era. The thing is, there's so much writing. The writings of the past, we can go and read and read. Often we can't really notice a great deal of difference about the inner church bickering about things that it almost seems like, how are we saying that today things are such and such as though it's a new thing? Because the church from the day of Jesus to the day is doing what it does best. Trying to say this, they're right and the other person's wrong. And somehow in this mix, people still come to accept Jesus. Amongst a lot of hypocrisy, people still come and accept Jesus. So if we can just, at times, let ourselves listen to other people, or at least understand we don't have to make us our own doctrine to go and set somebody else straight, as it were. We just are believing what we believe and worshiping the way that we like to worship and be done with it and speak our message. And we work out. The idea is to preach the gospel in all the land. But we have this weird idea about speaking the gospel in other lands or other the whole world. Because, you know, I don't know if you've watched this thing. It's called Living with the Mech. Some of you might have watched it. Way out far in the woods, in the jungle, these two people went out and spent 3 months with this tribe that didn't wear much. And they actually blended in with them for 3 months. Did all the work. Act like they were just one of them. And the chief told them what to do and so forth. And they lived with this. Anyway, after a period of time, of all things, this tribe, but you would think they're living the same way for thousands of years, never had any outside influence to speak up. But somehow or another, Christians found them at some point and got rid of all their other gods, as it was, and made them or convinced them to have God of the Bible their God. And then apparently the Christians left. And who knows how long passed. But one thing that is relatively common about Christians that go out and minister is they leave. And they seem to not finish a work. Because in this, that the Christians, whoever they were, went there, they didn't seem to emphasize Jesus. It was just God. Missionaries came. Christians came. And they brought the Bible. And so the Mech at times would do prayer. And you learn this after a couple of months of these two, I think they were British, came there to live with them. And they found them praying to God of the Bible. But you never heard the word Jesus. And so it's kind of funny. A culture was developed, and we hear this all the time. You know, we got the Mayans generation the down the line where now today you go there. Catholics went to them, and so now we got a culture of people that are calling themselves Christian, but they're also worshiping other gods. And so we have this kind of a mixed situations when Christians come in. They somehow don't seem to get the message across about Jesus is the center. He comes into you, and there are no other gods. And so we have a variety of religions, and these Mech have now changed, as it were, Christianity, but seems like minus Jesus. So, you know, some things are confusion about Christian ministries and missions that goes out into all the world and have a result of people coming to the Bible, but then all of a sudden the missionaries disappear and leaving this tribe with a mix of old religion and their old religion and the new Christianity, but minus Jesus. As Christians, it should be a sort of an idea of how can we minister to people with a message that can sustain them when they go out. Because you may never see them again. If you're going to be a missionary someplace, and you give part of a message, but then somehow you don't have enough time, you go home, then what is something that should be done? Because if it's so often that we're having this kind of strange results, it is also happening in here in Seattle and anywhere else. People go and they accept Jesus, but they never have any other opportunity because the message is not complete. So they develop a particularly unusual form of Christianity, and they develop it into a more unusual type of situation. I'm trying to get across something here that especially today, we need to put Jesus back into the center. And so that when somebody leaves, or you leave, after you've converted them to Christianity, after you told them the reason that Jesus came, and they heard it, and they recognized they were a sinner, you see, none of this thing, this people say, converts. Well, convert is a kind of a strange word, you know. When it should be more born again, because you're not converted, you're changed inside and out. You become a new creation. Jesus comes inside you and stays there. You didn't just change to believe something else. Something changed you. And if we could get a message when we're preaching to people to understand that this is a permanent thing and Jesus is the center from now on. And there is a rounded thing of Christianity that when you're witnessing to somebody, you can include in your witness to reach out and explain not only that Jesus came and died for you, but all the aspects of him coming inside and staying, and also he's going to return. Now, we hear this all the time, but what we don't seem to hear is we don't have to have too much suffering. It's all, what we're hearing more and more is a prosperity gospel. It's only going to become better. It's not necessarily going to become better. In fact, it's going to become worse. And this is what's missing a lot in our witnessing to people, is we're not giving them tools to survive when it gets worse. We need to figure out how we're going to bring to people a way to survive when it's worse. You might not get healed. You might not get blessed. Now, you are healed and you are blessed, but it might not manifest in something physically you can feel or mentally you can know that you are blessed. Because some of this is going to happen when you get your new spiritual body and you live forever. That's pretty blessed, don't you think, that you get... You're in a relationship with Jesus and believing in him. And the result is you're going to have a new spiritual body and live forever. But the process that gets missed a lot is Christians are supposed to be get richer or something. this can happen. Lots of wonderful things can happen. But we need to also know it's going to get bad. Because we're pretty much believing we're at the end of time for this segment. And the last days are coming. Antichrist kingdom's coming. So we got to get into an attitude that there's going to be some times that is not going to seem so blessed. Because, you know, we're the bad guys to the world. Christians are the bad guys. You got to kill Christians. You got to hurt Christians. You got to put them in jail. You got to do all kinds of stuff to Christians. And this doesn't happen just in the tribulation period. It happens when we're getting closer and closer to the day that Jesus arrives. And we're getting this kind of idea that a lot of us are going to be alive when this happens. Part of our message has got to include, it ain't going to be fun. It could be fun. You could have a nice time, as it were, with Jesus. You could be blessed, even though there's some strikingly terrible events happening. You could be used mightily. Though hundreds of thousands are dying around you. Because at the end of time of this era, there's going to be calamity. There's going to be specific government action to kill people. Christians are not high on the list of a desirable people to the world's leaders. And we know this. We know that the world is against Christians. This is a pretty basic thing we hear. But what we are not fully grasping is in the closeness of the time that Jesus is going to be coming, is that it's going to happen to us. We walk out our front door and see our street out there and cars going by and we go to work. You know, it's going to happen to us in our in lives, the effect of being a Christian. And it's going to be a little bit hard to know of seeing. I mean, we can see a pattern. Lots of us can see a pattern of things that is going to turn the tide even more dramatically against Christians. If there was only a way to be able to show you and tell you, you need to get ready for things that are not so fun for your daily life. Because you call yourself by the name of Jesus and say that you're a Christian. And this is not something the world likes. And the closer the day comes for Jesus to come, the closer to the day of the rapture, the harder it's going to be on Christians. It's two-sided. There's going to be more gifts in the Spirit given. You'll be able to lay hands on people and heal them. You'll be able to do some pretty remarkable things, get answered prayer, get protection at times, and so forth and so on. But you're not going to be avoiding some of the terrible things. You know, family members maybe getting killed in front of your eyes. Some terrible, devastating things are going to start to happen. May be a little while, but you're going to get to see some of these. If you don't know Jesus, turn and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Simple prayer gets you saved. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And if you're sick, put your hand out to the television screen. Be healed in Jesus' name. See you next week.